Revolution today.
Together, not a trip to nice continental, drifted by a mountain, sitting in a line. Leonard Bernstein, Leonard Brasnap, Lenny Bush, and Lester Banks, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom, symbiotic, patriotic, slam, button, nap.
Everybody, Barb Adams, J.B. Young here on America Now, and our guest tonight is Stephen Myers of the Pharaoh's Pump Foundation, as well as the author of Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. You can check both those out at thepump.org and stephenmyers.org. Also, if you want to join in the discussion tonight or have any questions or comments, please give us a call at 800-259-5791. Again, that's 800-259-5791. Stephen, this is really interesting. This is something I had never even thought about in all my research myself on the pyramids. But
well,
to think about the water, the water locks, somewhat a simple idea, and yet not, considering the time frame we're talking about back then. The water locks. How would they have been using these water locks then to move these stones? On barges?
Yes, the stones, of course, would be on barges. All Egyptologists agree that at least the casing stones, which were on a quarry across the river, is where they originated from. So the stones on barges idea is universal for most of the stones. Also, the largest granite stones were from a quarry about 400 miles away, up river, down on the map, if you will. But anyway, in a quarry. And the largest stones, all Egyptologists agree, were moved on barges. But Egyptologists just say that the stones were moved off of the barges. Usually, they say, during the flood time, which would have been the most treacherous, and that somehow was dragged through the mud and then through the sand and then up a ramp and set in place to within millimeters of being in exactly where they wanted it. But barges and the stones would have been easily moved using water locks. It's interesting that in the 1830s, in the Erie Canal, they used little children to move 70-ton payloads. They would lead a horse, if you will, with a tow rope on a tow path beside the Erie Canal, and two horses would move 70 tons. So it's interesting that little kids were able to move 70 tons, but highly trained Egyptologists can't do it.
Or at least they haven't tried then, I guess.
Looking at your website, there are some great illustrations that Barb and I have been looking at as to how they do that. And again, that's at thepump.org. If you'll click on the link, how the Great Pyramid was built. I'm curious, the locks make absolutely marvelous, perfect sense to me, but how do they get the water up to fill the pond level, the highest pond level, do you think?
Water up there in the construction pond, if you will, was supplied by the lower chamber in the Great Pyramid and associated passages that were built in the solid rock beneath the Great Pyramid, about 100 feet below the Great Pyramid, were used as similar to a hydraulic ram water pump. So that pump beneath the Great Pyramid was used to supply water for the highest water lock and to keep the pond full.
And is this
all Egyptologists agree that that passage, the descending passage, and the subterranean chamber were built before the Great Pyramid was built.
I see.
And that was its purpose.
And the same type of hydraulic pump technology is how the pyramid itself worked as a water pump when it was finished?
We think that the completed water pump, the Great Pyramid water pump, the input was the descending passage, and the output was the King's Chamber vents. And the King's Chamber and the Grand Gallery and the Queen's Chamber acted similar to a, and now we're going to start getting a little technical, a Humphrey pump. And a Humphrey pump was a pump that used not a crankshaft or a piston or anything, but it had an enclosed chamber, an airtight chamber, that combustion occurred inside that chamber, and then the result of that combustion was a vacuum. You can make a vacuum through combustion, believe it or not. And that Humphrey pump, they still have one operating in Australia. After that that vacuum would lift a column of water, and then when it was a big pump, it was like 100 tons of water. And then when they would release that vacuum, that column of water would move back down, ultimately forcing some water up out the output of that pump. That pump would pump about 1 million gallons an hour. It's massive down there in Australia. And anyway, we think that the Great Pyramid, the upper chambers, worked similar to that water pump. And so those two water pumps operated in series. First the subterranean pump, and then the upper pump. And that kind of supercharged, if you will, the Great Pyramid and allowed the water to move out the King's Chamber's vents.
So how, okay, in building this, especially the subterranean pump, how far would they have had to dug, basically, to connect this pump to, say, the Nile? Is that where they were getting the water from?
Okay, the source water for the pump, we think there are several possibilities, and there is scholarly debate in this general line of research. But most scholars believe, and associates of mine, that the water came from the ancient Lake Maurice, which is still there. Water was supplied from that lake all the way to the Great Pyramid through canals and that type of thing. And that was where the water came from. And most people believe that because of Herodotus's eyewitness testimony of both water being on the Giza Plateau and also the writings about the canals and artificial ducts between that lake and the Giza Plateau.
So then basically you're saying because the water was already there at the Giza Plateau, that the choice for the building of the Great Pyramid then was somewhat a simple one, because they had the water there, so that's why they built them at the Giza Plateau?
Yes, that part of the construction was to supply water to the construction site, and they were able to do that. And water locks are very simple, but profoundly important. They are the method of choice in the 21st century to move our heaviest objects, big ships. In the Panama Canal, they are adding additional water locks that are bigger to accommodate ships that are too big to fit in the Panama Canal. So it's a fantastic technology to lift heavy objects and to move heavy objects. And the Erie Canal, in 2 years, the amount of freight that it moved was equal to the weight of the Great Pyramid.
Wow, that's amazing. We've got another commercial break here coming up just in a few seconds, but I still want to talk a little bit more about this whole water locks thing and how they came about with all of this stuff. So we'll continue after the break with Stephen Myers.
Go ahead.
Here.
Have a dollar. In fact, no, brother man, here, have two. $2 means a snack for me, but it means a big deal to you.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to prevent your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They've both maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them both until now, your cash would actually have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call me, John Ballman, today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LightBreeze wind generator kits start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026. You've got your gold, water filters, and storable food. Now for complete self-sufficiency, make your own fuel with Revenor.com. Don't laugh. A quality still from Revenor.com and our free book, included with every still, is all you need to beat the high cost of gas and stop dependence on foreign oil. Find out how easy it is to legally make your own alcohol fuel at R-E-V-E-N-O-O-R.com. Or call 503-662-4173. Revenor.com. Find quality alcohol stills.
Did somebody say stills?
That's how Grandpappy made his own sour mash, and you can too. Revenor stills can be used to make brandies, liquors, whiskey, vodka, and more. All perfectly legal with a permit. You should check into having your own Revenor still at Revenor.com. That's R-E-V-E-N-O-O-R.com. Or call 503-662-4173. 1 year warranty on all stills from Revenor.com. Fine quality alcohol stills.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist, and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. 0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
How do you spell hard-hitting talk radio?
G-C-N.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network.
The fury's breathing down your
We're talking with Stephen Myers of the Pharos Pump Foundation and StephenMyers.org tonight. He's also the author of Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. If you want to join in or have any questions, this is just fascinating material tonight. Give us a call at 800-259-5791. Again, 800-259-5791. Stephen, going back again to how they were building this with all that water, how deep was the water then in the construction ponds and at some of those levels? Because wouldn't people have to be standing in there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They would stand in the construction pond and move barges around and also use specialized barges to move the stones off of the barges and into the pond. And again, the Great Pyramid was built level by level. So when one level was completed, then they worked on the level above it. What most Egyptologists say was that the Great Pyramid was all the interior stones, similar to what you see today, was built. And then a sheathing of the pretty casing stones was put over the Great Pyramid, and that sequence of construction is incorrect. So much of our research, people say, is consistent with the direct physical evidence. The casing stones being cemented in together to be watertight is to help keep water in, not to keep that pesky Egyptian rain from soaking into the Great Pyramid or anything like that, or to keep the pharaoh's soul from leaking out of the symbolic structure. So there's some real-world consistencies with the direct physical evidence and this idea of how the Great Pyramid was assembled.
I think really, Stephen, too, your explanation meets the Occam's razor, that it's really the simplest explanation that would adequately explain what's going on, you know, after I look at it, at least to me.
I appreciate that, JB, but it's the simplest explanation that can work.
Exactly.
Is an option. It's nice to have a whole bunch of guys with strong back muscles move big, heavy stones. That's a nice story to tell and to write about in books that Egyptologists write. But it would be nice if they could back that up with engaging in the scientific method and then demonstrating it.
Right.
I'll tell you who my favorite scientists are, and those are the reenactors of Civil War or the colonial days. You know, you go to a Civil War reenactment, and those people essentially are showing how the technology available at the Civil War was used, the guns, how they used their tents and the equipment and that type of thing. Those people are engaging in the scientific method to show how people did things during the Civil War. And there is not much controversy about the technology of the Civil War era.
Right.
In contrast, Egyptologists absolutely refrain from engaging in the scientific method, and the result is there is a huge controversy about how the Great Pyramid was built and many other aspects of ancient mankind.
Well, but for a few thousand dollars, they'll come to your group and talk about it.
They will talk about it. They are able to pontificate. But I'll tell you a little secret about sciences. Sciences come and they go. You know, they're in favor and then they lose favor. Or
that's what science is about, though. discovery, and putting yourself out of business to further science.
Right. Also, there was a science of phrenology that said that the bumps on your head related to your mental condition. And,
right,
you know, all the different bumps and everything. Well, the reason why it was taught in universities, you could get a degree in phrenology. But the reason why that science does not exist anymore is because their ideas were not supportable using the scientific method.
Right.
And Egyptology is in essence the phrenology of the 21st century.
And they're trying to explain bumps in the desert.
Absolutely. I'm going to use that in my next book.
You know, earlier, Stephen, you talked about a theory on what the Egyptologists have recommended maybe how the stones were smoothed and how they've never tried that and nobody's ever done that. Do you have your own theory on how the stones might have been smoothed?
The stones of the Great Pyramid and also other temples in the Valley of the Nile, some of them show exquisite precision, like machine precision, you know, to within 1/100th of an inch over a surface of 5 by 7 feet, a flat surface. And that ancient technology, that lost technology, is still lost. The result of that technology is still available. You know, you can go to ancient Egypt sites and see the exceptional stoneworking capabilities of the people that lived in ancient times in that area. But how they did it is still under scholarly debate, to be honest with you.
It's almost laser precision, is it not?
It is like laser precision, and it is on a huge scale. So it is unbelievable. Flanders Petrie talked a lot about the precision of the stoneworking capability, and he did much of his research in the late 1890s and like 1920s in that area, all through that area. And but Egyptologists have kind of dropped the ball on that, and they just say, oh, people just pounded on stones with other stones, and then that's how it was done, but they can't demonstrate it because they are wrong. So it's just something that needs to be understood. That ancient technology of cutting stones to extreme precision would have quite a value in our modern day to be able to do that. It would be very valuable. And there's other things that are quite valuable about the technology of the Great Pyramid. Certainly the cement or bonding agent between the casing stones is quite valuable. It's very strong. It is considered to be stronger than the stone itself.
Wow.
That would be valuable.
But hold those thoughts, Stephen. We've got another commercial break coming up here. But when we return, I want to talk about the values that we can take from the building of the Great Pyramid. When America Now continues. It's the end of the world as we know it.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
For world-class auto detailing, use what the pros use worldwide. Sparkle Auto. At SparkleAuto.com, the products and services we deliver are as good as it gets. And the knowledge behind them, even better. We always give you our absolute best, like our large 5-foot square chamois. It's Sparkle Auto's hottest selling item, voted by our customers as the most valuable chamois. This imported chamois is made of the highest quality microfiber artificial leather, so no scratching ever. It always remains soft, gentle, and pliable, no matter how much water it soaks up. The Sparkle Auto chamois will not shrink or grow stiff with age or dryness. See it and buy it now for only $19.95 plus shipping at SparkleAuto.com. That's SparkleAuto.com or call toll-free 866-372-9559. Experience the best customer service and our 110% price guarantee at SparkleAuto.com. Call 866-372-9559 today for good value on top-of-the-line auto detailing products from SparkleAuto.com.
No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Why? Because ZeroDebtGuarantee.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero Debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys, or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuarantee.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure. You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I just want to hear more of it.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
The angel closes her eyes. The confusion that was hers belongs now. Down the hall, open our feeling coming back again like a rolling thunder chasing the wind, forces pulling from the center of the earth. I get, I can feel it.
Is Stephen Myers. Stephen just wrote a book called Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. And his website is Stephen Myers, StevenMyers.org, and thepump.org. And he has a lot of questions about what traditional Egyptologists, I can't even say the word, have proposed about how the pyramids were built. And a lot of that thinking has never been tried or proven to show that it works. And one of the amazing things that Stephen has proposed is that water locks were used to move a lot of these stones up, which, you know, I guess, Stephen, water locks isn't really a lost technology as much as it is something they haven't really thought about before for this.
That is correct. The only thing lost about water locks is the understanding that those water locks were used to build the Great Pyramid.
Right. And right before the break, we were talking about how much value there could be in some of the lost technologies, such as how they smooth the stones. An idea that I had, since water played such a large part in all of this, is maybe they used water to power some kind of a wheel that had some kind of an abrasive on it. Again, I get a lot of those some kind of ins there, and I might as well just say, well, and then a miracle happened. But but they used water to power some kind of a wheel with abrasives on it, and even if it wore these abrasives down quickly, it could have been something that they had in large supply. Is that anything that you've considered?
Certainly. There is a number of researchers now that are trying to understand our ancient past in terms of just technology, not religions or symbolism or anything like that. And another researcher is Christopher Dunn, who has written some books about very specifically about the stone cutting technology and how remarkable the results of that technology was. And again, there's controversy about how it was done, but we do know that it was done. There's direct physical evidence that indicates that it was done. But there's a lot of these. The Great Pyramid isn't just a dusty pile of rocks that people think about or that's interesting, but we believe that it is the result of technologies that our modern but very troubled world can use. And I mentioned a few. The cement or the bonding agent would be nice, and the stone cutting technology would be nice. We already understand the stone moving technology using water locks, but the most important ancient technology of the Great Pyramid is how it was used as a device to be infrastructure to pump water. And that specific technology, that water pumping technology, needs to be redeveloped in our modern times to reduce our dependence on hydroelectricity, fossil fueled powered electricity, and even to help power electric cars and that type of thing. If we had a water pump that could pump water very economically, we could use that pumped water for irrigation, certainly, but also to generate electricity.
Well, you mentioned earlier during the construction of the pyramids that I believe it was at the Humphreys pump component that required there to be a fire. And was there a fire that was required when this pyramid was operational?
Yes, there was a fire. Pyramid, it's interesting. The word is, if you divide it up, I'm certainly not a etymologist. You know, my expertise isn't the origin of words, if you will. But pyramid is, the first part is pyra, like pyrotechnics.
I've never thought about that.
And the last part is amid, like amidship. So, interestingly enough, pyramid is like fire in the middle.
And, sounds like maybe a Greek word from whatever the Egyptian was originally.
Possibly, yes. But it's just, that's just an interesting thing to think about. We think that there was a combustion inside the upper part of the Grand Gallery, which in itself is water and airtight. If the Grand Gallery wasn't already inside a wonder of the world, it would be a wonder of the world. And it's about 150 feet long, and it's that chamber at a diagonal, if you will, about 26 degrees. And we think that although it's not cylindrical, but that it acted like a cylinder, and that the piston in there was water, and that combustion, which would create a vacuum, quite different than the way we do things, but anyway, it would lift the water up, and that massive piston, about 100 tons, when allowed to move back down using the force of gravity, would be the motive force to ultimately push water through the queen's chamber and the king's chamber. So that's how, in a very short explanation, how we feel that the upper chambers pumped water.
Stephen, I've got a question. You keep mentioning about the combustion that would be necessary. That mm-hmm. would probably be quite a sizable fire then. Is there evidence then inside the chambers of charring, of that type of combustion, of fire?
Yes. In the ceiling of the king's chamber, there are some scorch marks, believe it or not. And certainly different researchers have different explanations of the same direct physical evidence. We feel that that was the result of some combustion to create a vacuum. Other people say that it was from torches, that type of thing. Certainly all of the interior of the Great Pyramid, all the passages and chambers have been cleaned several times, and which has affected the original direct evidence, if you will, of the composition of the soot, that type of thing. So there's controversy, certainly, about some aspects of the theory, and that is one of them.
That's really interesting. I'm just trying to picture this piston. I mean, this is just gigantic.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But that it's so amazing that this technology, you know, we think we're so advanced now, but we are so dependent, as you mentioned, on the fossil fuels. And something like this, going back to these ancient technologies, the ultimate green.
Yes. That's why I said earlier in the first hour that there's people that have an environmental interest in our research, because we feel that this type of a water pump can be motive power to generate electricity, but be very easy on the environment, not a lot of environmental impact, if you will, very clean in a lot of ways. Even hydroelectric dams have damaged the rivers, that type of thing. I'm sure you're familiar with that concept.
Right.
And so there's a lot of a lot of value and potential. Let me put it that way. There's tremendous potential for using this ancient technology in our modern times. I know that we, as a civilization, and especially as a nation, we have got to figure out how to get off of our addiction to oil. And one way is to develop alternative energy methods.
Well, we have another break coming up, Steve. Stephen, we'll be right back. Give us a call, 800-259-5791. Again, to talk to our guest, 800-259-5791.
Trouble, don't you see?
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LightBreeze wind generator kit starts charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
Here's a question. If you have a septic system, did you know that proper maintenance can save you thousands of dollars in costly and unnecessary repairs? The answer is simple. Use septic system injector treatments made specifically for your home or business, available only at SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Made in the U.S., guaranteed to reduce sludge and odor by continuously cleaning your septic system, drain pipes, and leach field. This non-hazardous patented injector system contains billions of natural active bacteria and enzymes proven to digest household waste. With every flush, millions of enzyme active bacteria flow through your system, breaking down organic waste. Only Simple Septic Solutions natural eco-friendly products keep your septic system unclogged and free-flowing, claims other products can't make. Installation is simple and lasts for 4 full months. Visit SimpleSepticSolutions.com. That's SimpleSepticSolutions.com or call 508-759-0010. That's 508-759-0010.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Thousands of Americans are facing evacuation. If you or any of your loved ones might need to evacuate, you must do it yourselves. Please don't procrastinate until they do it for you. Remember the terrible conditions of those that didn't get out for Katrina. Go right now to efoodsdirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633 for information on the new evacuation pack. It contains 2 weeks of delicious, easy-to-fix food, along with the equipment to prepare it. It's packed in a rugged, heavy-duty tote for transport. Evacuations are looming with the storms and the Gulf oil catastrophe. No matter where you live, wildfires, earthquakes, floods, and storms must be escaped. Don't be like a deer frozen in the headlights of oncoming disaster. At least prepare yourself with this 2-week evacuation pack from efoodsdirect.com. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
10 years.
Genesis.
A decade of talk.
Genesis.
Great
Genesis.
Talk radio is here on the Genesis Communications Network.
Everybody, we're talking tonight with Stephen Myers of the Pharaoh's Pump Foundation and author of Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. And give us a call. What do you think? Do you think that we can learn something from these lost advanced technologies? Maybe we're not as smart as we think we are out there. Give us a call, 800-259-5791, if you've got opinions on this or want to talk to Stephen about it. Stephen, I'm still stuck on the combustion thing. Because that would have to be quite the fire, I would think. One, where are they getting the combustible materials from? And two, you're burning a big fire inside a pretty tightly sealed object now. Seems like there would be a lot of debris that they'd have to get rid of. And two, what about all the smoke and all of those things they'd have to deal with?
Yeah, what about all that stuff?
Yeah.
Actually, they need to bring a fuel into a chamber that is airtight, that is half filled with water, if you will, if you can imagine in your mind. The bottom half is filled with water of an airtight chamber mm-hmm. from the outside, and they also need to bring oxygen in from mm-hmm. the outside. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be an explanation for that. That is consistent with the direct physical evidence. Okay?
Okay.
There is no passage to bring either air or water into that area. Yet, we think that the Great Pyramid was built by geniuses who used electrolysis. Water has both hydrogen and also oxygen. And they used a process called electrolysis. They used electricity to separate those two elements from the water molecule, and then you can have both the fuel and the oxygen in the chamber.
That's fascinating, especially when you talk about the electricity and electrolysis, because it has been proposed previously by many others that electricity was available at that time, that they actually
Absolutely.
Had that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an artifact called the Baghdad Battery. They found many of them. That is a clay pot with an iron rod and a copper cylinder in this pot. And if you fill it with grape juice, you can get electricity. It is an operational battery. Traditional Egyptologists say, oh, no, it's just a symbolic thing or whatever. But the reality is you can get electricity from it. So they had electricity. Also, there's some artifacts that have been electroplated, which is actually a rather sophisticated procedure to put a layer, let's say, of gold on a silver artifact or even a lead artifact. So it's one example of high technology in ancient times. So we think that there was electrolysis used in this large chamber. It has niches that would hold the plates, if you will, and there's also some other rather technical issues involved that support the idea that electrolysis was used, which would supply both the oxygen and the fuel into the Great Pyramid water pump. The ancient geniuses were already in the hydrogen age thousands of years before we are.
But potentially, if there's an efficient way to do this electrolysis, that could be the most important lost technology of all, I would think.
Absolutely, and that's what this book is all about. We've somehow got ourselves into a mess of using energy systems that are geopolitically destabilizing. When I go buy gasoline, I euphemistically call it funding the terrorists. Because when you buy gas, some of that money goes back to the Middle East. And the terrorists, they need money to buy bombs and stuff.
True.
So it's just horrific. We're in a horrific situation. I also read that if the cost of energy quadruples, your standard of living is cut in half.
Oh, yeah.
And that's an issue with people. Minimum wage in 1970 was $1.65. Doesn't sound like very much, but gas was 28 cents a gallon. Whoa. You could buy, 6 gallons of gas? Five gallons of gas for the value of 1 hour's pay. Now, if gas is $3 a gallon, the minimum wage should be $15 an hour.
Yeah, right.
You see the relationship? I mean, there's one thing good about the energy systems we use. There's one very important thing that is absolutely good about the energy systems we use, and that is it makes a few people very, very rich.
Yeah, those that want to control us. And they're doing a good job of it at this point.
Yeah, they are. That thing, that oil spill in the Gulf, how horrific.
Yeah.
How horrible that was, just so we could have a method to heat our homes and to move around. I mean, it's just awful.
Well, we've been conditioned to be stuck to this system, unfortunately, of the fossil fuels. I mean, it's in everything we use. Petroleum has just become our lifeblood almost. And that's not, you know, by accident. It's the ones that had control of it that wanted to control us are using it. But anyway,
absolutely. And we've got to get off of it. Time magazine in a recent article said, the way to make the Middle East less important is to become to make oil less important. And that's what our foundation is about. We want to develop this ancient lost technology in our small facility to redevelop this technology and have it as an alternative to the energy systems we ended up with.
Well, here, everybody support it. And again, it's thepump.org. Go to the Pharaoh's Pump Foundation. You'll be able to read about this, find out about, and support this type of research because it's important. You know, we talk about a lot on the show and many of the shows here on Genesis about the New World Order and those at the top who are keeping basically all of us enslaved through petroleum, through. And we need to be looking for alternative sources. This would be an excellent way to go. We need this technology. And if it existed in the past and we're now just rediscovering it, this is just amazing that, you know, we think we've come so far. We have not, it seems. But getting back to the electroplating and electrolysis, That's fascinating because many of the hieroglyphs, if I remember right, Stephen, they show, you know, workers or pharaohs even holding these big tubes. And in these tubes would appear to be serpents. But the interpretation, as I look at them, it seems these tubes have filaments in them. Again, proof about potentially the electricity and potentially maybe something even more stunning, lasers.
Absolutely. There's also another thing people can look up on the internet is Crookes tubes, and those were early like vacuum tubes that had a number of applications. Some of those were to generate light. And one of the mysteries of ancient Egypt is how did they light some of the passages way deep in temples and in the other passages that don't have any light. And some say, oh, they use mirrors and everything else, but none of that really works. So if they used methods, including electricity, to generate light, that would explain a lot of things. The ancient mankind wasn't a bunch of knuckle-draggers one step out of the Stone Age. They were geniuses and had a profound understanding of aspects of physics that we don't understand.
Yes.
And we need to understand that to get out from under the grip of this horrific energy systems we use. And that's what our foundation is about, is trying to have a vision for the future.
All right.
And give glory to the past.
All right. Well, When America Now continues in the third hour, Stephen Myers of the Pharaoh's Foundation.
Your conscience overseas, coming in fast over me.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.